Thank you, Kent, for coming and sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, and good morning, brothers and sisters. I really do feel like I'm amongst family again, and I'm that annoying family member that always likes to take videos and pictures of people. But this is a video with a purpose. I want to address it to Pastor Aaron and Nina to provide a little bit of encouragement. So I'm going to just start off, and then I'll turn it to you, and I'll do a pan. And we could give our love and blessings and wishes to them. Yeah. Now, next thing is figuring out how to do that. Okay. Okay, because the last time I did this, I had it off during the time of the video, and then it turned on after we were all walking away. Okay. Well, good morning, Pastor Aaron and Nina. I'm here with the brothers and sisters here at Foster Tukwila Presbyterian Church, having a great time of fellowship and some time in the Word. Anyway, there's a few people here that want to let you know that they love you, they are thinking about you all during this day, and definitely we are praying for you. So here they are. We just want to say that we love you, we are thinking about you today, and we are praying for you. God bless you and blessings on your day. Okay, I think that worked. I'm not going to play it back now and check it out. But anyway, this has been a full circle thing, getting to know your pastor. Back in 2002, I met the previous pastor here at Foster Tukwila, and immediately we formed this great friendship, this great bond, and covenanted together to get into a prayer and accountability relationship. And it was very key to me, being the youngest, newest kid, as it were, in Tukwila, being paired up with the most seasoned, the oldest, and the longest tenured pastor. And it was a wonderful partnership and a wonderful fellowship. And as you know, a couple years ago, that phase of the relationship ended when that pastor retired. But then we got to pray along with you as you were just seeking God's wisdom for the new man that would be coming and filling the pulpit. And God was good. God answered prayer. And I got the privilege last year of inviting him to a prayer and accountability to relationship. And it was just pointed out to me by your previous pastor that you realize this is a full circle thing, because once again, the oldest, most senior pastor in Tukwila is partnering with the youngest pastor. So here we are, the circle of life, and a wonderful fellowship and a wonderful friendship and a wonderful bond. Pastor Aaron has already been to Grace Point earlier this year to fill the pulpit for me as I was recovering from my first cataract surgery. Excuse me if I feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm not needing glasses just looking out at you, but when it comes to looking at little print, I still do. So it's the opposite of what I used to do. So sometimes I have my glasses on, I don't need it, and then sometimes I'm looking at paper, why is this so blurry, and realizing the opposite. But anyway, all that to say is glad to be here, glad that we are brothers and sisters in fellowship and in love relationship together in and through Christ, and privileged here to share God's word with you this morning. So the folks at Grace Point have been going through Ephesians and taking a look at who we really are in Christ. How are we going to be really effective in being those ambassadors, that salt, that light in the world, until we realize who we are, what we have, because of what Christ has done? So that's why we're going through the book. And I'm just going to pick up from one of the early messages. I had to quickly scroll through my messages because I have the benefit of being there every week. And so if I run out of time, I say, to be continued next week. So I had to find one anticipating that I won't be here next week that could kind of wrap up, sort of, kind of, today. And if not, or if you're really curious, I can come back next week. Anyway, so it starts off with a personal story of growing up, talking about who we are in Christ. It took me a while to figure that out. And I'm still in the learning process of learning what that really is. Because growing up, this is going to surprise some of you. It's going to shock some of you. I was a really awkward and uncoordinated kid. I dreaded PE while I was in grade school. It was a time of great angst when I knew that the whistle was blowing and we were going to go out in the playground. And especially when we were playing kickball, my teammates would usually put me far out in the field with outfielders in front of me because I couldn't catch the ball, and I certainly couldn't throw the ball very accurately. And the thought that other outfields in front of me would catch the ball gave me great comfort. That is, unless, of course, Perry Johnson was at the plate, because inevitably I would end up chasing the ball as he would boot it over the inner outfielders, and I would have to chase the ball all the way across the playground to retrieve it long after he had cleared the bases and gotten back home. But that wasn't the most painful part of the game. The most painful part of the game happened before we went out in the field, when we had to pick teams. Usually the two best players, Perry that I mentioned and Glenn, took turns choosing sides. That's a painful exercise. That's an exercise that does not promote self-esteem, let me tell you. So imagine how it felt, how the rest of us felt standing around, shuffling our feet, trying not to look too eager, yet inwardly yearning to be chosen. But inevitably, Bailey and me were those last two people. Sometime insult was added to injury when one of the team captains would look down at the two of us and tell the other captain, you can have both of them. Now, I'm guessing at some level, all of us can relate to that story on some level or another, whether it be in your workplace, maybe it's in your family settings, maybe it's, you know, in your social settings. Hopefully it hasn't happened to you in the church. But none of us like to feel left out, right? Because it hurts, doesn't it? Remembering the smug looks of those who are part of the in crowd, looking down at you and sneering at you for being left out. Standing alone from the crowd, knowing that your name was not going to be uttered, except maybe in a chiding, undercutting kind of way. Now that's maybe some of the low memories that you have of growing up. But maybe in contrast, you can remember the opposite. That euphoria that comes with just knowing that you were accepted, you were loved, that you were chosen by someone else to be a friend, to sit by you, just to pass the time of day, just to enjoy a common hobby. Maybe for some of you, that occurred in a job. Or an acceptance into a certain school. I know one family is in that prayer process of wanting their boys to get into the right school right now. Or maybe it was receiving some kind of an award. And this is the message that I have found in the first few verses of Ephesians. God chose us. And we were chosen for the most significant thing of all. And this is where our study is going to begin. I didn't start off with the scripture verse because here it is. I'm going to read this for you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Now, verse 3 here. Oh, there's a screen back there. I can I don't need to keep looking back. Okay. You guys are way more ahead of us technology-wise. Verse 3 begins a section of praise to God for all that He has done. And incidentally, I just read 3 through 6, but 3 through 14, for those that have read through this before and know your Greek grammar, 3 through 14 is actually one long run-on train of thought, one sentence in Greek. And that one sentence is really kind of like a roller coaster ride, where it feels like Paul is praising God for one thing, which reminds him of the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and it keeps on building and building. Which makes it, in English, a little bit hard to follow sometimes, but let me tell you, all those euphoric highs have the cumulative effect of reciting all those marvelous works of God. It's an outburst of praise and a lifting up of our hearts to God as we are confronted with His greatness and His glory. And that's what we wanted to do as we got into the book of Ephesians. And that's what I want to present to you to consider today as you go out and you get into the start of the week and you are His representatives out in the world. We want to focus on how great and how awesome our God truly is. The big task that we have of preaching is to understand what God's Word says and how it applies to our lives. And in this passage, our response, our application of this truth is found right in the middle of the passage itself. And it is all to the praise of God. God is so amazing, and we need to praise Him. All the worship songs that we sang this morning and all the songs that we sing every Saturday night at Grace Point, we strive to focus and to point people on the praise and the honor of our one great God. Amen? Amen. Now, there might be one or two of you grammatical purists are wondering, why did he stop at verse 6? Given that I told you that verses 3 through 14 are one thought or one sentence. Well, let me give you the answer in short. Maybe some of you, especially those of you that have been to Grace Point, know that it would take me forever to get through this first sentence. So it didn't really cross my mind just to read you those first verses. And I don't know if word got out. But it took me 8 months in 2019 to go through the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. So probably some of you, even though there's only four verses up there, looking at your watch, you're kind of wondering, how long is it going to actually take him to get through one sentence? And I hope he doesn't attempt to try to do it all today. Don't worry, I won't. But I also say to any of you who are entertaining those notions, that really hurts. Now, what I want to do is to express the reason. Though it is all one sentence, this sentence is highly structured. And there are three distinct sections. The first addressing God the Father, praises from God the Father. The second, God the Son. And the third, God the Holy Spirit. And each section ends with a phrase, to the praise of His glory. And those phrases appear in verses 6, 12, and 14. I think it says 11 on that sheet, but that's the best Google Images could do for me this morning. We are getting started, and we're focusing on those attributes of praise to God the Father. And that's where I'm going to focus in our time together this morning. And there's no way we're going to get through that whole passage, but I encourage you to read on and to discover the blessings of each of the other two members of the Trinity in turn. So once again, let's take a look at these verses. And I'm going to read it again just to kind of solidify it in our minds as we go through this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. There are three reasons that I see here to praise God the Father listed here. Verse 3 tells us he has blessed us. Verse 4 tells us he has chosen us. And verse 5 says he has predestined us. And let's take a look at each in turn. First, verse 3, he has blessed us. Verse 3 says he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So the first reason to praise God could actually serve as maybe a heading for the entire passage over verses 3 to 14. We praise God because he has blessed us. And by the way, in the verses following, there's a whole scad of ways that he has blessed us. However, before beginning this list, Paul gives us a few descriptors of God beginning in verse 3. He says, in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So first of all, what does it mean to be blessed in the heavenly realms? We begin by recognizing that there is a spiritual dimension that what we can see and touch and can verify, that's not all there is to life. Someone prayed during the prayer regarding the coronavirus. You know, sometimes we get locked in on the circumstances and we forget about the God who is able to get us through the circumstances. And sometimes we put the circumstances in front of God when God is supposed to be in front of that and to be able to lead and guide us through. When you and I become Christians, we become an active part of the spiritual realm. This particular phrase occurs several times in Ephesians. One of the most recognized is from chapter 6, which I'll probably preach later this fall or next year, when we learn that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Like I say, it's really easy for us to get caught up in the here and now, in the immediate stuff going on against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, when we're in the most desperate need of prayer, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but can any of us raise our hands if the pastor said, I want to see hands? Instead of praying fervently, we forget to pray. Or we abhor silence, saying, God, I want that answer now. Or, you know, we don't seek his word and our Bibles are collecting dust. And we come here on Sunday morning, we show up and sing, but we're not really in the mindset or the heart set to really worship. Paul is reminding us here that there is way, way, way more to life than just the immediate stuff around us. And you know what I'm talking about, otherwise you wouldn't be here this morning. You know that there is much more. You understand that God desires us to experience his blessings in the here and in the now. The second phrase that we looked at is, with every spiritual blessing. Blessings are literally showered on us. We are saturated with his blessings. Sometimes we don't recognize them as blessings. Sometimes we say, oh man, is it raining again today? It's blessings of God. And all that to say, we don't serve a stingy God, do we? He's not a cosmic miser. He's not carefully doling out or rationing out little bits of blessings, you know, just to give us a little cookie, just to remind us, okay, he really is there. No, he's not doing that. On the contrary, the Bible says every spiritual blessing. That means not some, not many spiritual blessings, not most spiritual blessings, except for the real holy people. No, every spiritual blessing for every one of you. Every spiritual blessing. The promise of God is every spiritual blessing. We serve a God of abundance. We serve a God that desires to lavish us with spiritual blessings without limit. So what are these spiritual blessings? Well, the rest of the passage, all the way to verse 14, that's why you should take this home and read this and be encouraged daily by this cavalcade of blessing. The rest of the passage of verse 14 makes it clear that God has chosen us, that we can be holy and blameless, and that He's adopted us. This adjective, spiritual, refers to the Holy Spirit as a person who applies these blessings. And with that in mind, I think it's pretty safe to also include in this list of spiritual blessing. Whoops. I advanced too quick. There. The things that Paul mentions in the fruit of the spirits in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I missed one. Self-control. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are some of the things God desires for us in abundance. So the third and final phrase which qualifies the blessings of God is these blessings are in Christ. If we truly took the time to contemplate and realize and to lean in to all that we have in Christ, you know, all the things that we have, we celebrate the Lord's Supper because of who we are in Christ, what He has done for us. I mean, I think we could be just, you know, overwhelmed. We could be drowning in that shower upon us. But we realize these blessings that we have in Christ are not of the world. They're not of material things, but they are deeply of spiritual things. And our true peace and joy can be found when we seek the things of God through and in Christ Jesus. Jesus tells us we're not storing up for ourselves treasures here on earth, things that can be stolen or destroyed. The announcement about Snack Pack needing to move because of all the thievery that's going on in the campus down the street. You know, our blessings in Christ can't be stolen that way. Our stuff can. Our sound system was stolen. You know, instruments that we dared leave in the church, they got stolen. But it's kind of like, you know, the Grinch that stole Christmas. It didn't steal the Christmas spirit from the town as they came together to worship God on that Christmas morning. Those things can't be taken from us. The treasures in heaven will last for eternity. And so many of these heavenly blessings, if you look down this particular list, they're available to us right here and right now. The great blessings we have in Christ is that even though God's expectation is perfection, a state that we can never hope to achieve in this life, we can achieve the appearance of this through Christ Jesus. We put all of our faith and all of our trust in Christ and that what He accomplished on the cross. Because through His blood, God sees us as perfect. That's a great mystery to me. I don't understand how that is, but that gives me a greater appreciation and a humble rendering of what that the power of what that blood really is. Talk about a blessing. The reason why we could have those precious times of prayer is because we can go directly to God in prayer. And we can do it anytime we want because of the way that God sees us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. If God saw the sin on us, we wouldn't have that access. He'd have His back turned to us as He did on that moment of angst for Jesus when He yelled out, "God, my God, why have You forsaken me?" Because God had to turn His back on all the sin that He was carrying. It is only in Christ that we experience the blessings of God and there is no other way. And God knew that, and God provided us the way in His Son Jesus. At age 16, Andrew Folds was already a skilled pianist, but he was experiencing a troubled year. And again, God is limitless, but Google images are not. This is not a 16-year-old picture. He didn't age prematurely. That was the only picture of Andrew Folds I could find. Well, one of a couple I could find, and he's not 16 there, but pretend. It's the same guy. In the midst of the young Hungarian's personal struggles, one of the most renowned pianists of his day came to Budapest. His name was Emil von Sauer. He was not only famous for his abilities, he was also the last surviving pupil at that time of Franz Liszt. Von Sauer requested that Folds play for him, and Folds obliged with some of the most difficult works of Bach, Beethoven, Schumann. And when he finished, von Sauer walked over to him and kissed him on the forehead. "My son," he said, "when I was your age, I became a student of Liszt. He kissed me on the forehead after my first lesson, saying, 'Take good care of this kiss. It comes from Beethoven, who gave it to me after hearing me play. And I have waited years to pass this sacred heritage on to someone, but now I feel you deserve it.'" It's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful picture of how in Christ, in effect, we have been kissed by God with every spiritual blessing. And our look at these first few verses in Ephesians is only the beginning of the unpacking of the treasure trove of all that we have and all that we are because of all that Christ has done on the cross. And remember, this is the whole of my message, but it's only the beginning of this long, wonderful run-on sentence. We've only gotten started. What else have we received from God the Father? And I hope, seriously, that you will contemplate that and you'll read through that first section of this plethora of blessings provided to us. Why would He provide that plethora to us unless we were of value to Him? Unless He had chosen us, unless He had wanted us, unless He had seen something in us that He knew that we would be the hands and feet out in the world to spread the most precious message of all, salvation through faith in His Son Jesus. How great is the height and the length and the depth of His great love for us. Praise be to God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank You for loving us. And this only scratches the surface of helping us to understand just how great that love is for us. We understand in pieces and in part that love was great enough that You would send Your beloved Son to the cross for us, because of us and for us, and in spite of us, that we might have life in the fullest, that we might have fellowship with You to the fullest extent of what You intended and what You desired, and because of the value that You have placed on each of us. That is mind-blowing to comprehend. That is mind-blowing to consider. And we are humble, but we are so grateful. And thank You right now for this reminder that You told us to practice until Your return on a regular basis, because You wanted us to keep our focus on the thing that is most important, Your Son Jesus, all that He has accomplished, and all that we are now because of what He has accomplished. Thank You. Thank You for that. We pray these things all in Your Son's precious, powerful name. Amen.